asked for John Jones, the manhunter from Mars, his world, and the vile menagerie of villains he must confront.
On May 31st, 2011, DC Comics announced that they were going to cancel every single one of their ongoing titles, including Action Comics and Detective Comics, which had run monthly and continuously since the 1930s. Initially, they claimed that it wasn't going to be any sort of reboot along the lines of Crisis on Infinite Earths, but with the passage of time and with an increased amount of details, it was fairly clear that that was exactly what they were going to do, with the exception of sparing popular titles like Batman and Green Lantern, which was exactly the problem with Crisis on Infinite Earths, which also did not restart the DC Universe from ground zero and caused all sorts of complications and problems to confuse new readers that plagued DC Comics for 30 years after that point. This was back before the initiative had a name proper. I took to the name DC New, as in N-U with the umlaut, basically mocking it with the affectation of nu metal from the late 90s. Ultimately, DC announced that they were going to launch 52 number one titles, starting with Justice League in the last week of August 2011. A few weeks back, DC announced that the New 52 initiative would be ending as of June 2015, that they would no longer be using that brand. Personally, I like the term New 52 because it has a number 2 in it, and DC Comics has pretty much always been number 2. Some people like to think that there was a time before Marvel Comics where DC was number 1, but even then they were competing with other people. They were never the number 1 publisher, or not for any great length of time anyway. And that middle child status that they have, never quite being number 1, but towering over a bunch of other smaller, less accomplished publishers, kind of makes DC Comics the Jan Brady of superhero universes. And the whole thing about dropping the term New 52, it's like a kid growing up being called Bobby, and then he hits puberty and he decides he wants to be called Bob, and people kind of get on board. It's like, yeah, okay, we understand. You're getting older now. We'll call you Bob. And then let's say he hits high school and he decides, well, I want you to call me Robert now, and nobody's going to listen to him. He got lucky that he managed to land Bob. Yes, he heard a lot of Bob jokes because of it. Still better than Bobby. Never going to be Robert. DC's been trying to have the word new tied into their branding since the early 80s. The new DC, there's no stopping us now. And the other funny thing is that DC actually thinks that people are going to stop using the term New 52, as though somebody at DC coined terms like post-crisis, pre-crisis, that sort of thing. They're the New 52. They're going to be the New 52 until they come up with the next new thing. But since they like to think that they're going to stop being the New 52 as of June, let's give that whole concept a post-mortem and look at how the New 52 has treated the Martian Manhunter. Immediately prior to the New 52, DC Comics had the best-selling year-long bi-weekly miniseries Brightest Day, from which numerous titles were expected to spin off. The Martian Manhunter was resurrected from the dead and given his own segment in that series, which was written by Peter Tomasi and drawn by Patrick Gleason, so everybody expecting them to go off and do a Martian Manhunter number one. So a lot of people were surprised when a new Justice League series was announced and Cyborg was taking the place of the Martian Manhunter in this new 52 universe. But since the Martian Manhunter was still thought of as part of the Magnificent Seven JLA, everybody was wondering, well, okay, where is he going to end up going? And dummies like me actually had lists of demands of things we would have liked to have seen from Martian Manhunter in his presumed ongoing series, since we all knew he was going to be getting his own book coming out of Brightest Day. Even though Newsarama did a fan poll in which Martian Manhunter's segment of that book was, I believe, the second worst received after Hawkman's. The next announcement that was relevant to our character was that there would be a Justice League International book. The presumption was, okay, he'll end up there. He'll help to moor that team the way that he did the JLI back in the late 80s. He wasn't there either. And in fact, there was no new Martian Manhunter series coming out, which was about par for the course for DC because they've made repeated efforts to push Martian Manhunter as a solo character and never quite known how to do it, never quite pulled it off. He'd been in Detective Comics for over 100 issues, and so they tried to set him up as the star in an ongoing series in the book House of Mystery, which had previously been in a horror science fiction anthology. The strip at first tried to incorporate the anthology format by having the Martian Manhunter fighting Monster of the Month in juvenile adventure stories involving a cutesy alien sidekick. And when that didn't work, they turned it into sort of a spy strip in which he fought the international criminal organization Vulture. But the Manhunter only appeared on a handful of House of Mystery covers before the anthology covers started popping back up again. And ultimately, the covers went to a brand new feature, Robbie Reed and Dial H for Hero. Manhunter was set to make a comeback after a long period in publishing limbo back in the 70s. He was part of the DC Explosion, where he was going to be getting a backup feature. Then the DC Implosion happened, and that all went away, aside from a little mini-series of backup strips in Adventure Comics that were resolved in one issue of World's Finest. In 1987, he got a spinoff miniseries from the very popular Justice League International, which was a book that was known for its being the rare instance of a comic book that was actually funny. And it was also beautifully drawn by an artist, Kevin Maguire, who was great at doing expressive, very realistic faces. So, of course, the miniseries was ultra serious, and it was drawn by the somewhat less successful Mark Badger, an experimental, minimalist, expressive artist with a very uncommon sense of anatomy, who had previously worked with J.M. DeMatteis on a Gargoyle miniseries, and at some point also did a Jewish vampire graphic novel for Marvel. It could be argued that the book was anti-commercial. In 1991, Martian Manhunter was one of the top vote getters at a poll DC conducted at major conventions across the nation. The most popular character on their list was, of course, Death from the Sandman series, but I believe Martian Manhunter came in at a respectable number two, which helped to earn him a spinoff miniseries from Justice League International as its funny days were winding down. So this was once again a super serious period series set in 1957, a somewhat low-key mystery conspiracy story that mostly focused on John Jones as opposed to Jean Jones and explored cultural mores of that period. Prestige format, very expensive for its time, did not do terribly well. And it featured art by Eduardo Barreto, who was very much not in sync with the popular artists of the day, i.e. the Image guys. By 1996, DC wasn't even trying. They put a bunch of inventory-looking material together and threw it out as the Martian Manhunter special. Nothing particularly special about it. Finally, though, emboldened by the success of the Grant Morrison, Howard Porter, JLA series, Martian Manhunter was the most obvious spinoff, as he had been somewhat of the most iconic hero in the JLA in terms of being known solely for being a JLA member and serving a shorthand. If the Martian Manhunter appears somewhere, it means the JLA are probably not far behind. This series, launched in 1998, was set up as very much a hanger-on to the popularity of JLA, where they didn't even bother to invest in supporting cast. They just kept having JLA members pop up over and over again. Made no effort to include any prior Martian Manhunter continuity or any of his major villains. And that book died after roughly 3 years. But at least that one got a pretty solid, competent push as opposed to the previous efforts. The true precursor to the New 52, though, was 2006's One Year Later, where following the Infinite Crisis miniseries, all the DC books jumped ahead in continuity, and the Martian Manhunter would get an 8-issue solo miniseries where he was going to be edgy and dark and more alien-looking. But the truly alienated were the fans who did not recognize the character they loved in the book, and the approach to the character used in the book didn't garner any new fans. In pursuit of this solo popularity, the Martian Manhunter had been dumped from the Justice League, his berth for the previous couple of decades, and he has yet to return to that role in the Justice League, despite having been sold as the heart and soul of the League for many, many years, which I feel is part of the problem. I think that the Martian Manhunter has been handicapped by his role in the Justice League. At this point, he's seen as not having or deserving an existence beyond Justice League stories. He's not having appeared in either of those announced New 52 launch Justice League books, and with the likelihood of a Martian Manhunter ongoing series in the New 52 quickly dwindling, fans like myself were starting to grasp at straws like a possible Outsiders or Batman Incorporated relaunch that would involve the character. Ultimately, though, the place they would host him was extremely left field. Nobody saw this coming. DC's incorporation of the Wildstorm Studios series Stormwatch, which had been canceled many years prior as the series had morphed into the much more popular The Authority, whose brand had been washed out pretty thoroughly by DC through editorial interference and a barrage of lukewarm relaunch attempts. The announced creative team for that first arc was Paul Cornell and Miguel Angel Sepulveda. The solicitation text was, "Stormwatch is a dangerous superhero strike force whose existence is kept secret from the world. Jack Hawksmoor and the rest of the crew look to recruit two of the deadliest superheroes on the planet, Midnighter and Apollo. And if they say no, perhaps the Martian Manhunter can change their minds." Coming out of a DC Comics that had gotten very into mind wipes and other intrusive, morally ambiguous acts by so-called superheroes, a lot of people were concerned that maybe the Martian Manhunter was literally going to use his telepathy to change their minds. So you already had your first little mini controversy with the New 52 Martian Manhunter. Paul Cornell got out in front of that quickly. He stated of Stormwatch that it's at the crux of a lot of things for where DC is going to be in September. It's a bit of a kingpin book. It united a lot of things. So he said that Marshmanner was not, absolutely not going to be forcing anybody telepathically to do anything they didn't want to do. So he would hopefully, presumably, remain a recognizable character. And that he was going to be in a book that was going to be in the upper echelons of the New 52 DC continuity. That was the plan. A lot of those plans involving Stormwatch did not come to fruition. The book died quickly on the vine. Paul Cornell was not happy with a lot of the dictates that was being handed down to him and left the book after that first story arc, 6 issues. There was a fill-in writer for a couple of issues, then a supposedly permanent writer who only lasted a few more issues, and then ultimately Jim Starlin played out the clock until the book was canceled inside of a couple of years. At the time, I wrote of the matter that the Martian Manhunter is the first DC character to serve on a Wildstorm team, and in some ways it's a more perfect fit for him than any other group yet. John Jones was an alien being trapped in our world decades back who decided to aid his adoptive world in secret, just like a good many Cherubim. Cherubim being the heroic aliens, at least as initially established in Jim Lee's Wildstorm universe. The Manhunter served on an international super team sanctioned by the United Nations who operated out of a satellite, just like the original version of Stormwatch. Unlike the JLI, Stormwatch is a competent group of clandestine operatives that well complement John Jones. If handled appropriately, the Manhunter from Mars brings heart and soul to a cold and calculating lot, each side playing off the other. The premise is ripe with opportunity. Most every other option for the alien Atlas ending up on a team was either regressive or diminishing, but Stormwatch allows him trailblazing forward motion. I was over the moon about Stormwatch. I thought it was a great idea. I loved the potential that I saw there. None of that came of anything. He was pulled out of the book within the first year, not handled in a very good manner, doing exactly what Paul Cornell said he wouldn't do, running around mind-wiping all the other members of Stormwatch so they wouldn't recall him ever having been a member, and then never touching on any of the themes established for the character in Stormwatch. There was some hullabaloo about a second wave of New 52 titles in 2012. I again hope that we were going to get the Marshmanner series there, especially as he was transitioning out of Stormwatch. 6 titles came. I believe that all 6 of those titles were canceled within a year or two. However, Brad Walker, an artist who I really enjoy, who works on books that I never seem to read, had a piece of artwork come out last year that was a proposed cover for a new Martian Manhunter series. And he wrote of it after I asked him about it. Just one of those things they were thinking about doing that ended up falling through. This happens all the time. It was one of several series from that time that didn't pan out. I'm not willing to go out on a limb and say that's a shame, because as much as I would like to have seen Brad Walker's artwork on that book, the cover image showed the Martian Manhunter diving into some sort of military group and giving them what for, which was very similar to something that they had done in the 2006 Martian Manhunter miniseries. When you take a character that's in the power levels of Superman and you throw him at regular human beings, there's nothing to see there. That's not exciting at all. The 2006 Martian Manhunter miniseries demonstrated that quite well. I held out hope for a third wave ongoing series, but there never was a third wave. Instead, Martian Manhunter joined the Justice League of America, exactly what I didn't want to see him do. This new series ran for 14 issues that offered nearly 100 different covers, at least 67 of them for issue number one alone. The big hullabaloo about the creative team of Geoff Johns and Dave Finch, both popular creators, the pair lasted 3 issues as a team. In a little over a year, the book had 2 more writers and 5 more primary artists, by which I mean guys who provided the pencil arts for the majority of at least 1 issue. It was a meandering series. It did not appear to serve any purpose. I bought it largely because they had announced that the Martian Manhunter would be receiving his own solo backup strip in the book, which lasted, I think, about half a year at most. Justice League of America morphed into a new title, Justice League United, previously called Justice League Canada, the Alpha Flight of the DC Universe. The book was launched by Jeff Lemire and Mike McCone, who stuck with the book for less than a year. The title will be continuing. The announced artists are Travel Foreman and Paul Pelletier, but they still don't have a writer. And it will not be part of the series coming out in June, the official launch month for the not new continuation of the Not 52. And now finally, 4 years into the New 52, at a point where we're so far removed from the New 52 that we don't even officially get to call it that anymore, we finally get the New 52 Martian Manhunter series. It's going to be written by Rob Williams. Rob Williams is a guy who wrote a story in an issue of 2000 AD that I liked, and has written a bunch of other stuff that I did not like, including the 2 worst segments of the Revolutionary War micro-event of one-shots. If you're not familiar with that, that's when Marvel decided to renew all their trademarks on Marvel UK titles via 6 marginally related revival one-shots, bookended by specials. So to write not 1, but 2 of the worst books in an event starring Marvel UK characters is something of a reverse accomplishment. He also seems to be the go-to guy to replace the original writers on low-selling ancillary titles of Marvel franchises, like the last issues of Daken, Dark Wolverine, Scar, King of the Savage Land, Venom. He did write the entire run of that time Ghost Rider had boobs for 10 issues, and he does seem to do a fair amount of work on licensed product. This is not a bibliography that makes me optimistic. The original announced artist was Ben Oliver, who I think is appealing. I like his style fairly well. I haven't had a lot of exposure to it. He reminded me an awful lot of Al Barrio Nuevo, who drew the 2006 miniseries. More of that deja vu, that expectation that doing the exact same thing will yield a different result. That artist has since been replaced by Eddie Barrows, so far. Barrows is one of those guys who DC seems to think is going to be a big deal. I think that he should probably be a big deal, too. I do like his artwork, but he just never has quite broken through to the fans the way you would expect him to, because he has a very appealing, accessible style, and he was one of the many artists who drew Justice League of America during its short run. I thought he had a good take on the Martian Manhunter. Unfortunately, there has been some murmurs in the background that the book might end up being delayed. This certainly reminds me of the New 52 in its creative instability, but I do find the fact that it's a $2.99 book very appealing. DC pushed for a while the notion of holding the line at $2.99, and that's important to me as well because I really don't care to pay more than $3 for comic books. I really do feel like that's my breaking point. I've been reading comics for a long time. It's very hard for me to not buy floppies. It's not just that I'm an old man who's been buying comics since they were 50 cents. It's that I know I can go and get a multi-million dollar production from the Red Box for $1.50 that's going to take up a minimum of 90 minutes of my time if I bother to watch the whole thing. But at $1.50, I really don't worry about finishing it. So paying more than $3 for a pamphlet that will take me 5 to 10 minutes to read, once you break that $3 cap, once you break the cost of two Red Box rentals, I'm having a hard time justifying that, especially when I can go get Marvel Unlimited for, I think I'm paying something like $8 to $10 a month to have access to a large percentage of Marvel's library of comics, with new books being added every week. DC Comics, you really need one of those things. I will definitely pay you for that, and I'll definitely read more DC Comics if you would put them on there. But I'll be damned if I'm going to give you $2 for a digital copy of an old comic book that I could buy from an actual comic book store for anywhere from 25 cents to a dollar. So to get the rant back on topic, when the 2006 miniseries came out, I believe it was also $2.99. That was at a time when $2.99 was the top price point for standard edition floppy comics. Now it's a bit of a deal compared to all the $4 books that are out there that I don't buy, by the way. Whereas in 2006, we were getting a revolutionary new version of the Martian Manhunter. There was a revolution in the worst sense, like the terror of the French Revolution bad. A version of the character that was largely unrecognizable to me as a fan, that I was greatly disinterested in and resistant to, at a time when I was very unhappy with DC Comics' direction anyhow. It was easy for me to pre-order the first issue, read it, find it not to my taste, and then wait a few years and buy those books for $1 apiece from an online retailer. This series, on the other hand, is a comparative deal in price. Has a somewhat more proven creative team, at least in a jack-in-the-box is better than McDonald's sort of way, and will feature a version of the Martian Manhunter that I've actually embraced. While I'm not a fan of most of the editorial direction found in the New 52, I actually do think that the Martian Manhunter has been improved by the initiative. I've mentioned in another podcast how when I had my comic shop, I would put up a Black Panther action figure, and small children would walk up and point to it and say, "Batman!" Well, the same thing happened to me with Martian Manhunter. They'd see a big green guy, point to it, and go, "Hulk." I think that was the thinking behind the redesign of the character by Jose Ladron for the 2006 miniseries and for the redesign of the character today. But what's great about the modern redesign is that while I could do without the pointy elbows and sometimes the shape of the skull is a bit excessive, I think the overall redesign is very good. I think it makes the character more iconic. It differentiates him from other characters, especially the Hulk. While I appreciated the simplicity of the Silver Age design that managed to survive all the way into the 2000s, I don't think that is a look that appeals to modern audiences very much. And it was kind of boring, honestly, even for a person who's a fan of the character like myself. As an example, when the Lego company put out their exclusive Martian Manhunter New 52 designed Lego piece, thankfully, my girlfriend, who's a big fan of the Legos, managed to pull three of those exclusives together, one of which I got to keep. Looks fantastic. You can now get a Martian Manhunter figurine, minifig as they call them, I believe, in a Brainiac Attack set. But that version of the Martian Manhunter is closer to the one seen in JLA, the so-called classic Martian Manhunter, with the exception of having blue pants along the lines of Brightest Day. And it's just not as good looking. It's not as visually appealing. A Lego is designed to be iconic. It's designed to be something that's as simple as possible to get the basics of the figure across. So for the new 52 model to work better as a minifig, I think that also shows that it works better as a design, period. It's more attractive to the eye. It's more specific to the character. You know for a fact that that is not the Hulk. Even 4 years into the new 52, the Martian Manhunter is still a blank slate. We don't know very much about this character. We know that he's been on 4 super teams, that he in some way betrayed the main Justice League in a story that needs to be revealed, that he is somewhat more secretive, sinister, and ethically compromised. When you see what he did with Stormwatch, for instance, he seems to basically have the same power set. We know from Stormwatch that he has kept secret that there are other living Martians who we have yet to see. And we know, based on the solicitations, if DC abides by them, which they don't have a very good track record on in recent years, we're going to get to see some of these other Martians. You do realize that 5 years ago, Miss Martian was one of the most popular members of a very well-liked animated series, Young Justice. This is a character who's been routinely cosplayed, tons of fan art. When talks of the CW doing a live-action version of Young Justice came about, Miss Martian was going to be in that series. And yet in the 4 years of the New 52, the character has only appeared in like one panel of one comic book. With the blank slate of the New 52, that character could actually be integrated into a Martian Manhunter family proper. That alone is reason enough to have a solo Martian Manhunter series to see the development of both of those characters, despite appearing in the Justice League Doom animated film and being the most prominent Martian Manhunter-specific villain, essentially a co-star in most Martian Manhunter-related stories from 1998 until the early 2000s. Malefic has yet to appear in a comic book in the New 52, and the entire Martian Manhunter Rose Gallery to date in the New 52 essentially consists of Despero and Thoth. We know that at some point in this continuity, the Martian Manhunter worked alongside Despero in some sort of alien police force. Meanwhile, they felt the need to invent a third villain to destroy Mars in Thoth. We don't need to go back to that guy. That's one of those things you can retcon if you want to. So going into a new 52, or whatever they want to call it, Martian Manhunter series, this will be the first time we get to see a supporting cast for this character in a modern context. While they've given us glimpses of a possible secret identity for the character, one that looked like the classic John Jones, another that appeared to be African American, more in line with the Justice League Doom cartoon, or Phil Morris's portrayal in Smallville, we don't even know who Martian Manhunter is when he's not the Martian Manhunter, if he is anything else. We don't know his motivations. We don't know why he keeps joining super teams. We don't know why he keeps betraying super teams. As much as I like to look at the New 52 Martian Manhunter, as much potential as I see in the character, we've got so little on the page so far, I still don't know that guy. And I want to know who that guy is. This is in a situation where they're trying to reinvent a character with decades of shared universe continuity on their back, where they're trying to go off on some bizarre new direction. We don't have continuity in the New 52. We don't know who this character is. This character has yet to be defined despite being around for the last 4 years. And I'm very excited to see what they're going to do. It's just that I enter with some trepidation because they may not do anything of value. Aside from a great redesign, they haven't done much so far. I'm going to give it a try. I'm not guaranteeing I'm going to stick with it. The New 52 has not been kind to my hopes and expectations. We'll just have to see how this goes.
Your ego betrays you. Will you not listen to reason? This won't end well for you.
We received retweets from Ange, the Anti-Fascist, Bob at RJ Holmes 123, Charlton Hero, Count Druncula, David Fior, DSNRS, Eternal Rage, Fantastiverse, Firestorm Fan, Flotospan, Guano Man, Illegal Machine, It's Plastic Man, Keith G. Baker, Luke Dobb, Randy Caldwell, Sean Corey, Siskoid, and the Top 5 Road Crew. Favorites came from Bob, Charlton Hero, Chris Michael at Mythmaking, etc., Count Druncula, who's got a great Black Canary podcast going, and I need to promote that more, Date Night at Red City Images, David Fior at Miles Coverdale, David Golding Artist, DS and RS, Ed Moore at Teal Productions, Inigo Montoya at Urban Fantasist, Eternal Rage, Fantastiverse, Longbox Graveyard, Luke Dobb, Martin Gray, Marty Light, Odyssey Unleashed, which is a new podcast, Oscar Olalde, Professor Riptide, Randy Caldwell, Sean Corey, and the Top 5 Road Crew. I'm just going to read a couple of Twitter comments this time and save the really meaty stuff for next week. Boost Terrific asked, in canon, how old is John Jones? decades, centuries, millennia? Please help me, Diabolu Frank. You're my only hope. And I answered that the original Silver Age / Bronze Age Martian Manhunter was probably equivalent to middle-aged. He was, I believe, a youngish man at the start of the series and was probably middle-aged by the time of Crisis on Infinite Earths. The post-Crisis Martian Manhunter, much more vague because he time-traveled. He came through space and time in the post-Crisis origin, but he was meant to live for at least 1,000 years because he's active in the Legion of Superheroes future. They had him living actually many millennia in the DC 1 million series. As for the current Martian Manhunter, there's been some allusions to him having longevity, but it's not very clear. Randy Caldwell said, "It would be nice if Commander Blanks were an antagonist on the Supergirl show. It would be better if Jean had his own television show. If Ironside, Matlock, and Angela Lansbury can solve TV crimes, why not the Manhunter from Mars?" Feel free to leave a comment. Our blog is at theidleheadofdiabolu.blogspot.com. Although if you put in the word Idlehead or Diabolu, typically that blog is the first result. You can also go to World Spine Podcast, the WordPress account, which is great if you don't want to have to log in. Anybody can comment there. And of course, there's my Twitter account at Commander Blanks, all of which is linked through the blog. So if you can find one, you can typically find the other through that. Thanks, everybody.